This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
The cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And with us today, once again, is astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about his latest bestseller. It's called Accessory to War, the unspoken alliance between astrophysics and the military. So once again, we're going to talk about the history, going back to ancient days, the history of how science can be used either for, well, to cure diseases, to explore unknown areas, to open new markets, or for war. The book, once again, is called Accessory to War. And again, if you want to find out more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. My latest book, also a bestseller, is The Future of Humanity, talking about one day, perhaps one day we'll go to the moon, Mars, Titan, the asteroid belt, and maybe even beyond. But today we're going to talk about history. We're going to talk about a history that's very rarely talked about. But if you think about it, anything can be used for good or evil. Take a hammer, for example. Hammers, on one hand, can be used to build buildings for the homeless and to create empires. On the other hand, it could also be used to kill other people. So with us today, once again, is Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, author of Accessory to War. We should point out that he got his degrees from Harvard, Columbia, and Princeton, currently director of the Hayden Planetarium, author of the monster bestseller, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, and other books like Death by Black Hole, currently director of the Hayden Planetarium. Many people think he's a successor to Carl Sagan. So, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Yeah, Michio, thanks for having me. This is like, I feel like an old-timer with you because I've been your guest from long ago.
That's right, years and years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, why did you write this book? Because the usual book talks about stars and the wonderment of the galaxies and stuff like that. Here you talk about, well, history as most people never get it. So what motivated you to write this book?
I had a couple of sort of tours of committee duty in Washington, initially appointments from George W. Bush, and these were committees to explore things like the health of the American aerospace industry, which at the time, this is now 18 years ago, year 2001, in fact, had fallen on hard times. It had lost 500,000 workers of all levels of management, and consider that today the aerospace companies, you know well, many of them have hyphenated names. This is a consequence of the consolidation of the industries, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, this sort of thing. And so the country, specifically the White House, was concerned that if we lose the aerospace industry, what effect would that have on our commerce? Because you order something today on Amazon, it's on your doorstep the next morning, on our transportation, and, of course, on our security. And that brought me into a committee of 12, which completely represented the political spectrum in the United States, as well as people of varying levels of power, captains of industry, former members of Congress, four-star generals of the Air Force, and to watch intelligent, educated people debate issues knowing that there's a common solution we're all headed towards. To me, I found quite illuminating, enlightening even. Then I realized there must have been an astrophysicist such as myself in that meeting. There must have been someone such as me. In meetings like that, around the world and throughout time, just trying to discuss or figure out what's going to work for us. And I thought to myself, there's got to be some book in there somewhere, because the examples I was coming up with for myself were easy ones. What role did astronomers play in advising leaders for empire building, for navigation? What role the telescope played? And so that's when the early ideas for the book began. And it's 13 years in the making. It went under contract in 2005. And early on, I said, this will take me 1,000 years to write. So, so I said, I need a co-author. My co-author is Avis Lang, a longtime editor of mine for essays I'd written for Natural History magazine. And that made sure the thing could be completed before the sun became a red giant.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your book, which talks about history, for example. Now, I remember when I was a Cub Scout, we learned about the stars, about the Big Dipper. And if you pointed at the Big Dipper, it would eventually point toward the North Star, and you could navigate. And then, of course, when I was in the military, we learned how to use the compass, even in the dead of night. However, star maps and compasses can not only be used to establish trade routes, create prosperity, reduce anxieties between different people, but it can also be used to conquer other people, right? What are your thoughts?
Indeed, yes. And it's not a matter of, like, what are my thoughts? It's like, what has actually happened in the history of the world? So if you look at almost every empire that was built, especially over the time of the great sort of seafaring voyages, but even before that, you can go back to the time of the Ottoman Empire, for example, where people are spreading their influence, for better or for worse, for those who are getting this influence spread upon them. And in order to know where you're going, where you came from, and where you are, you need to know your coordinates on Earth. And Earth doesn't come preset with lines drawn on them so you can...
Unfortunately not. Right?
Yeah. So you need some way to figure that out. And the astronomers of the day, who are the experts in knowing and understanding the night sky, have known how it is that stars, the configuration of stars is different depending on where you are on Earth. And the stars rise and set at different times. The moon rises and sets. The North Star is at a different altitude in the sky. The Big Dipper sometimes dips so low it's below the horizon, depending on where you are on Earth. Well, if you have an acute knowledge of this, of the sky, then you can infer where you are on Earth from that knowledge on the sky. And the nations who did that first and did that better became the greatest conquerors the world has ever seen. That's just the fact.
And isn't it also a dirty secret that the king would sponsor this research because they were superstitious and wanted astrology to map out when's the best time to launch an offensive?
Some of the earliest examples of this were a bit of this expectation. By the way, consider the hubris of that notion that the entire universe is thinking about you. Just think about that. That's pretty...
Only a human the stars. Can come up with it. The stars, which are much bigger than our sun, are aligned just so that you meet a handsome stranger tomorrow.
Yeah, just the hubris of that is extraordinary. But nonetheless, if you had fears that a comet might come and indicate the loss of your power, then, yeah, you cared and you wanted to keep very good records of this. And, of course, the ancient Chinese were most famous for how detailed their records were, even though it was driven by superstition and astrological beliefs and not scientific beliefs. It didn't change the fact that they wanted to know precisely what was going on in the sky. So the astronomer, the astrophysicist, has been a handmaiden to empire building ever since there have been empires.
Okay, Neil, once again, we have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to talk about the telescope. The telescope that opened up the heavens for warfare and for peace and trade. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And maybe your thoughts will be heard on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. We're very delighted to have with us once again Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, author of that monster bestseller, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. But he has a new book out, called Accessory to War, The Unspoken Alliance Between Astrophysics and the Military. So let's now talk about the telescope. Some people think that in all of human history, the most revolutionary invention that changed our understanding of our place in the universe is the telescope. And immediately it was used to establish trade, to understand the heavens, the stars, but also used by navies to fight wars. So what does the book say about the telescope?
Yeah, so the telescope was invented in the Netherlands, which in retrospect is not surprising, given how active they were just in optics and lens making. And so to the idea that you might put two lenses together in a tube and then see distant things as close up, somebody had to sort of think that up first, and it was. And within a couple of years of that, Galileo, upon having heard that someone had done it, made a way better version of it. This is within a couple of years. We're talking 1608, within 5 years of the development of the telescope in the Netherlands. He comes up with a perfected version of it, knows its value immediately, and before he even looks up at the night sky, he goes to the Doge of Venice, invites him to the clock tower, the highest point in the area, shows him that you can identify whether a ship is under friend or foe flag flying on their mast at 10 times the distance than you can with the unaided eye, enabling you to establish the troop the strength of their navy, giving you extra time to defend. And so immediately a slew of these telescopes were purchased from Galileo, and then he spent the rest of his time looking up at the night sky.
commerce came first, huh?
Of course, Venice was a huge mercantile nation state, but it was not without the risk of people trying to. The telescope became an immediate security device for that city state, and so. So that was like one of the earliest applications of it, but any other military application becomes completely obvious. You know, the telescope doesn't kill you, it doesn't explode, it's not a weapon in that sense. It is the world's first truly exceptional spy device, intelligence gathering device. If you have a telescope and your enemy doesn't, you will know long before they arrive what they're up to. And you can defend against that. You can, and so the telescope was immediately adopted by any and every military force that could acquire it. Even George Washington wrote lovingly of his telescope, and the people who painted that famous the famous painting of him crossing the Delaware, if you zoom in on that painting, in his right hand he's holding a telescope. It's really good. And so knowledge at a distance becomes very important. And if you want to fast forward that to modern times, the telescope extended human vision, but it only extended it initially in the visible light bands of wavelength. But when we learn that there's more light than just red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, the colors of the rainbow, there's things like ultraviolet and X-rays and gamma rays and radio waves. That meant we could make telescopes in all these other bands, in bands of light you can't even see. And if that's the case, I could be looking at you and you wouldn't even know I was looking at you, because I'm using wavelengths of light invisible to your eyes. So your intro to the telescope in this segment was couldn't be more accurate, that it completely transformed how we relate to one another, how we think about information, and empire building became that much more potent in the presence of the telescope.
And isn't it true that the telescope, in some sense, is the most seditious, revolutionary invention of all time, because it changed our understanding of religion, our place in the universe, what it's all about, our worldview? All of it changed with the telescope, right?
Well, so that's the other side of that equation. So there's one, well, I want to conquer you, and I want to see you from a distance. The other one is, while I'm looking up, I learned, oh my gosh, no, Earth is not in the center of anything. Oh, the Earth is small compared to the Sun. Earth is small compared to the most other planets. Oh my gosh, the solar system is not in any special place. Oh, the galaxy is not even the only galaxy. We might not even have the only universe in the multiverse. So
yes.
Talk about an ego destabilizing device. There's no greater force operating against human hubris than the telescope itself.
Okay. Well, that's the way it went for several hundred years, but then we hit World War I and especially World War II, which changed everything. Everything changed. All of a sudden, eggheads who normally dabble with mathematics and physics were being courted by the military because of, well, radar, rockets, the V-2, the atomic bomb. So walk us through now all the different developments in astrophysics during World War II that really changed everything about modern society.
Well, so a couple of things. The relationship of the physicist to war is very well known and widely talked about, and you are also share your knowledge and expert recollections of that relationship. And books have been written. There was Richard Rhodes' book, The Making of the Atomic Bomb. So the role of the physicist is pretty clear. You know, they sort of initiated and built the atomic and bombs and all the bombs that followed. The role of the chemist, like in the First World War, was pretty well established with mustard gas and other chemical weapons. In modern times, the biologist might weaponize anthrax. So their roles are well known. It's the astronomer's role that wasn't so clearly identified in the minds of the public. And so come the Second World War, you have the rocket genius of Wernher von Braun thinking, I don't want to just drop bombs out of an airplane. Let me launch these things, not at an airplane, have them leave the atmosphere and come back out of the atmosphere and land on its target, and you don't even know it's coming because it's traveling hypersonically. This was the genesis of the V-2, the Vengeance Weapon 2. The first one was not a rocket. It was a different, it was a self-propelled missile, basically. The V-2 was the birth of modern rocketry. And everyone knew that after the war, the technology for the V-2, if it stuck around, it would be the kind of technology you would need to go to the moon. And at the end of the war, Project Paperclip, Operation Paperclip, we, the United States, went onto the line of all the Nazis that were captured, and no, Wernher von Braun and his rocket team did not go to Nuremberg. Right? We snatched them and had them birth our rocket program. And Wernher von Braun in the 1950s was at the beginning of NASA, headed the entire effort for the United States to go to the moon. And so this overlap between the expertise of warfare and the expertise of exploring space continued all the way through the Second World War into the birth of NASA.
And speaking about the atomic bomb, when I was in high school, my mentor was actually Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb. And when I graduated from Harvard, he offered me a job to go to Los Alamos, Livermore, or MIT to design hydrogen warheads. Actually, I told him, no, I don't think I want to design hydrogen warheads because I'm going to work on something bigger, even bigger than a hydrogen bomb. I wanted to work on the Big Bang, the creation of the universe itself. But, you know, that has no military application yet. We're not in the business of destroying universes yet.
Right.
Now, also, tell us about radar, because out of radar comes the radio telescope. Some people think it's the successor to the ordinary telescope using radio waves, and radar also came out of World War II, right?
Yeah, so once you understand that there's other kinds of light, not just visible light, that opens up an entire new way of thinking, and for innovative people, it's or nefarious people, they can think of other uses of these other bands of light. One of them is the band of light that begins in the what we call the electromagnetic spectrum. It begins just beyond infrared. And you go beyond infrared, you get to small versions of radio waves. We call them microwaves. That's where you get the word microwave.
Okay, Neil, we have to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion on radio telescopes and then on to the space race with the Russians. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. If you want to get on radio, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and ask that question and get on national radio.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
Subpoenas have been issued by the House for President Trump's tax returns. Democratic Representative Brendan Boyle, who sits on the Ways and Means Committee, tells CNN even the Attorney General must follow the law.
I would be willing to vote in the full House to also find him contempt if he didn't comply with the subpoena. But again, it would be in the best interest of both branches of the government, the executive and the legislative, if the Attorney General would follow the law, comply with the subpoena.
The New York Times earlier this week obtained Trump's federal income tax returns between 1985 and 1994, which revealed Trump lost nearly $1.2 billion in his real estate business during that decade, allowing him to avoid paying income taxes for eight of those 10 years. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi hasn't yet set a date for the full House to vote to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress. Democrats still hoping to meet Barr halfway. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
This is Science Fantastic.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Many people think of him as a successor to Carl Sagan. He's the author of that monster bestseller, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. Also great books like Death by Black Hole. He's the director of the Hayden Planetarium. He studied at Harvard, Columbia, Princeton, and now is right in New York City. And we're talking about his latest book written by Avis Lang. The book is called Accessory to war, the unspoken alliance between astrophysics and the military. But when we last left off, we were talking about rockets, how rockets can be used to send payloads to London to destroy whole city blocks of London, but also to open up the heavens for space exploration. And also radar, yet another invention that came out of World War II that could be used to track jets, but also to open up our understanding of black holes and galactic nuclei. So explain to us now the evolution of yet another invention, radar.
Yeah, so we have in the Second World War the knowledge that there's part of the electromagnetic spectrum that goes beyond what we call infrared. Below infrared, there's small versions of radio waves, which then got to be known as microwaves. And these are, you can't see them with your eye, but they can do things like pass through walls. They also can be reflected off of some surfaces, particularly metallic surfaces. So, if I can take a signal of microwaves, beam it out, and have it reflect back to me, and I can make an image of what the shape of that signal is coming back, then I can figure out not only how far away you are, but what you might even look like, even if you're very far away from me. And so this is radio detection and ranging, which became the acronym radar, and it's just a word today, but in its day, it was a fresh acronym. And the urge to want to know what something looks like that is too far away for you to see, that might be moving fast, that could be harming you, this developed detector technology that would later then be used to train on the universe. And not only were there microwaves, but longer waves, which we just today call radio waves, led to the development of radio telescopes. And so you combine microwave and radio telescopes, which got their birthright from war, to turn them on the universe. This enabled us to discover radio wave galaxies. It enabled us to discover the signature of the Big Bang itself, the famous cosmic microwave background. This is the signature of the Big Bang today manifests as microwaves, and you need microwave telescopes to make that detection in the first place.
So it all comes from back to war, right? That war, in some sense, was the stimulus, the funding, the assemblage of all these brains to create radar came out of war. But now we use it to explore the universe, right?
Yeah, and this is a – but I want to emphasize that this is a two-way street, not a one-way street. So the scientists, astrophysicists are walking in one direction. There's a picket fence maybe that separates us, and we look over the fence. Hey, guys, you got something we could use that's declassified? Oh, my gosh, we'll use that. One of them, for example, became our Hubble telescope. In its previous versions, it was a spy telescope in orbit around the Earth. And so we exploited all of the background research that made the telescope so great, and we said we're going to point it up instead of down. And they look over our fence because we have people deeply committed to making cosmic discovery. And we will invent things that they might not have the motivation to invent because they're not even thinking that way. And when that happens, it goes the other way. And that's how they then exploited the telescope. The telescope was not invented for military purposes, but they certainly exploited it.
And also it goes back and forth, right? Like gamma ray bursters were actually first thought of as being a secret weapon of the Russians, only to become known as a gigantic explosion in space. Well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you're listening to Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. This is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. His latest bestseller is called Accessory to War, The Unspoken Alliance Between Astrophysics and the Military. We're going to talk about the fact that science is, well, a double-edged sword. One side of the sword can cut against ignorance, poverty, disease, but hey, let's face it, the other side of the sword can cut against you and me, unless we're careful, and there's also a cross-fertilization that goes back and forth, back and forth. When we last left off, we were talking about gamma-ray bursters, but Neil, isn't it true that originally the military sent up spy satellites to detect Russian unauthorized nuclear detonations, but instead of picking up Russian nuclear blasts, we picked up explosions in other galaxies called gamma ray bursters. So isn't there like a cross fertilization that goes back and forth between the two?
So in fact, the gamma ray bursters was the start of a brand new branch of astrophysics. What had happened was there was the test ban treaty that was signed, which prevented, this in the 60s, which prevented anybody from exploding nuclear bombs on Earth's surface. But as the military mantra is trust but verify, so we said, all right, we believe the Russians, the Soviets will abide by it, but we want to make sure. So they sent up a special satellite that detected the pulse of gamma rays from a nuclear explosion. And to their surprise, approximately once a day, there was an explosion. They said, wait a minute, do we have any other satellites detecting this? Any other vision, any ground truth on this? And no one knew what it was. And after a while and after analysis, they found that in the universe, there's like 400 gamma ray bursts a year, averaging a little more than one a day. And we said, my gosh, what are those things? And so then we started saying, let us design telescopes just for that purpose. And no, Russia did not illegally explode weapons, but the universe was. So we got to pay attention to the universe instead.
Okay. Now let's talk about the space race that took us to the moon. I once saw an interview with Arthur C. Clarke, who said he predicted many things, but he never predicted in his lifetime that we would go to the moon. Never thought so. Then the great powers got involved, and boom, we went to the moon. So people don't like to mention it, but the moonshot, wasn't it partly driven by rivalry between the great powers?
Yeah, entirely. And so Sputnik, old-timers will remember, October 4th, 1957, you know, we just lost our minds when that thing happened because there it was flying over our head without our permission. They need our permission to fly in the airspace, but in the space space above the air, there's no such treaty, and there was Sputnik. Now, it feels innocent at first. It's just a little radio transmitter going beep, beep, and the word Sputnik translates to fellow traveler. But the military knew that they felt threatened because it was launched in an intercontinental ballistic missile with a hollowed-out shell where they put the radio transmitter instead of a nuclear warhead. So this, by many, was an act of war, and we freaked out, and we redoubled our investments, and we created NASA, a civilian agency, yes, but every astronaut but one served in the military. So the motivation, the drivers, the money that was spent, but I don't want to die driver rather than I want to explore the universe driver. So Arthur C. Clarke is right. We didn't go to the moon out of any real energy or urge to explore. It was all for defensive reasons.
Well, I remember when the first weather satellite went up in orbit, the Tyros weather satellite, President LBJ got a lot of flack because people said, if you want to know the weather, lick your index finger, point it in the wind, and you now know the weather. You don't need a $1 billion Tyros weather satellite to know what the weather is.
That's so funny.
So anyway, that night I saw him on TV, and it turns out the Tyros weather satellite picked up a hurricane for the first time in human history. We could actually see a hurricane as it headed toward Texas. We had advance warning. We could evacuate people. People could hunker down. Property damage could be at a minimum. And that night, I still remember watching him. He came on television and he said, tonight, the space program has paid for itself. Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and ask that question, make that comment, and get on national radio.
Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations for Public Supermarkets. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Publix to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we're building a brighter future. Sign up for Publix's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. When you hear the tape recorder, leave your name, call letters of the radio station listening to, if you're listening to one, the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bothering you about science, and maybe your thoughts will be heard on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Well, we're privileged to have with us today, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist, director of the Hayden Planetarium. Many people consider him the successor to Carl Sagan. And he's the author of that monster bestseller, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. Where we last left, we were talking about the Cold War with the Soviet Union. But now we're entering a new era where we have spy satellites. We have missiles that are quite advanced. However, we also have the GPS system, which can be used not only to triangulate the location of your enemy, but also to track down your lost kid. So tell us now about the relationship between war and astrophysics in the modern day age.
Modern day, people say to themselves, no, we don't want the militarization of space. That's a bad use of space. There's a treaty in 1967, now has 108 or so signers, we among them, which is commits to the peaceful use of outer space, but it leaves open a small crack that says you can defend your things in space, your assets in space, and it's not clear how much weaponry you would need to accomplish that. And then if you see a satellite coming towards you that you think is going to harm your satellite, can you preemptively take it out? Does that count as defense? So there's a gray area there. But what is true is, though we think of the Star Wars, the film, and weapons and missiles and things, space has already been, in a sense, weaponized ever since we've been in space. But it's weaponized in not the traditional way you think. It is riddled with spy satellites, satellites that are obtaining information about enemies. It's the modern version of standing on a mountaintop with a telescope looking at the advancing armies of your enemies. The 2003 Gulf War was entirely enabled by space assets, led by the GPS satellite system launched by the Air Force. GPS, again, just like the astronomers of centuries past, aiding conquerors with coordinate systems on Earth, GPS allows troop movement to know where they are when there aren't otherwise street signs, or if you're in the middle of the desert, where are you? How far away are you from the enemy? How are your missiles going to track their targets? The command and control of that war was enabled by space assets. For me, that is the militarization of space already. So in the future, that would just continue. I don't see any reason why that would be any different.
Okay, now the president made headlines recently. We're talking about a space force, like the Air Force. Some people say, well, we need a sheriff on the block. I mean, after all, the Chinese, the Russians are militarizing space. Let's not be naive about it. Other people say, well, it could create a space race, and space is very fragile. It wouldn't take much to wipe out all our satellites in space. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, again, is the Space Force concept one where we just have weapons in space batting other satellites out of operation or what? It turns out if you start busting up satellites, breaking them into pieces, then each of those pieces becomes its own deadly projectile that could damage other satellites, including your own. This is the modern version of the chemical warfare in the First World War, where you spread mustard gas over the trenches, and because your bullets can't round that corner, and then the wind changes and it blows back in your face. So the idea of a space war where we're just wreaking havoc in orbit is unrealistic as the goal of anybody would accomplish. You'd have to, if you're going to take out a satellite, it would have to be in a way that doesn't then break it into pieces. There are ways to do that. There are thermal kills where you heat up a circuit board and it fries it, and then the object is still there, but it's not any more dangerous than it was before as a projectile because it's only one piece, right? So I don't know where this will go in the future. People say, oh, we should have peace in space. And I'm saying, well, do you really think that's possible if we don't have peace on Earth? Why should space be a fundamentally different thing for how humans would treat each other? So I will believe we'll have peace in space when you can demonstrate you can make peace here on Earth. And until then, space is another high ground, like any other high ground that anyone has been searching for over the past centuries and millennia.
Now, some people think that, well, there's a Chinese expression, never pick up a rock only to drop it on your own feet. Because who's the most vulnerable if a war were to break out in space? I mean, we have most of the satellites, we have most of the assets in space, and the electromagnetic pulse from one hydrogen bomb would be enough to knock out half of our satellites. Two atomic bombs will knock out 100% of our eyes and ears in space. So what are your thoughts? If war were to break out, wouldn't it be really, really messy?
Yes, it would be messy. And by the way, if it's an actual bomb, the electromagnetic pulse doesn't need the air pressure to do its thing. The bomb itself would not really destroy anything. The blast wave, because there's no air up there to carry the shock wave. But yes, the electromagnetic pulse could do damage to the electronics of all of these. And yes, we have the most assets. By the way, it's not just the value of the hardware in orbit, it's the value of the commerce it enables. As you led off this segment, noting that we use GPS, so we co-opted GPS from the military to conduct business. The Uber exists only because of GPS, right? And same with Tinder. You want to know who your mate will be in the next, within a radius of 4 miles. It uses, if the creators only knew, that's how GPS would be.
Okay. Well, on that note, unfortunately, Neil, we are running out of time.
Oh,
so
okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on Science. Fantastic.
Always great to be with you.
Well, once again, our special guest has been Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, successor to Carl Sagan, author of that monster bestseller, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, currently director of the Hayden Planetarium, and you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and have your thoughts heard on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.